So David was the threshold king. So the tent of David transformed into the temple. And it was in this context that Adonai takes up his permanent habitation in the temple in Jerusalem. It is intriguing to extend the connection between the Sukkah and the Mishkan by considering John 1, verse 14, which says, "And the word became flesh and dwelt among us." Where dwelt, the word dwelt translates the Greek skeno or skenu, which the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Tanakh, is the Greek equivalent of both Mishkan and Sukkah. So the idea, "and the word became flesh and tabernacled among us," when you tie that together with the Sukkot of David and the permanent habitation of God on the earth and the end time events of all the nations coming into a restorative relationship with God. Consider also Revelation 21. So in the similar vein to John chapter 1, Revelation 21 verses 3 through 4, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." Amen. Here's the whole point. Sukkot is prophetically linked to Yeshua's and Israel's ultimate purpose, the reconciliation of the nations to God. That Gentiles coming to Adonai is the fullness of a spiritual ingathering. So just as Sukkot comes at the end of all the harvest, the final harvest, the greatest harvest, will end with all the nations being restored to God through Messiah, the people of Israel having fulfilled their calling to participate in that movement. Let's go on to the next section. Let's look at Yeshua's interaction with Sukkot. Let's go back to John. And we've already seen that there appears to be a link. It seems that John went out of his way. I didn't reference the Targum here or anything like that. I didn't want to go down that road. But it seems that John went out of his way in chapter 1 to use words that the dwelling of the flesh would make us think of the dwelling presence of God, and the related words making us think of the tabernacle, which is where God would dwell. But instead of just coming to inhabit a temporary dwelling, Yeshua came to live among us as one of our own. So John chapter 7 is Yeshua's actual encounter with the Feast of Sukkot. We see in verse 2 of chapter 7 that chapter 7 takes place during the Feast of Sukkot. But let's go on to verses 37 through 39. "On the last and greatest day of the feast," this would be the seventh day, "Yeshua stood and said in a loud voice, 'If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him.' By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Yeshua had not yet been glorified." The last and greatest day of the feast in First Temple Judaism and in today's Judaism is known as Hoshana Rabbah. Now, I don't want you to be surprised by anything, so I'll remind you that Scripture does not say there's anything special about the seventh day. There's something special about the first day of Sukkot, and then there's another holy convocation on the eighth day. And yet, it was called the last and greatest day of the feast. It's true it's the last day, but again, nothing great. Hoshana Rabbah means, this is my translation, "the great save us." And it's an extra biblical celebration. The word Hoshana or Hosanna means, please save us now. And so that was the theme of this day. By Yeshua's day, the pomp and circumstance of Sukkot had become quite elaborate. Sukkot changed from being a celebration of Adonai's faithfulness to a festival of supplication, pleading with Adonai for continued provision. This was marked by the Simchat Beit Hasho'aiva, the celebration of water libation. During the celebration, water was poured on the altar as a petition for a rainy season. Hoshana Rabbah is also considered the day of judgment for rain, representing one final opportunity for any evil decree to be reversed. So if God didn't want to pour out his rain and his provision on Israel, if they did the water libation ceremony and cried out, Hosanna, then maybe God would reverse his evil decree and send the rain for an abundant harvest the next time around.